Every fight he's in is do or die.
Right now, Chandler's showing no fear.
Michael Chandler's fighting. Some fucking chaos is going to happen. That guy has a warrior spirit.
Crazy. Amazing. Fucking crazy.
Patience is so important. And yes, you're not where you want to be today, but you have to have the confident expectancy that somewhere down the road, if you keep doing the right things and you keep holding yourself to that standard, you're going to blossom into that man or woman that you need to be. Extreme patience, a patience that a lot of people question, that's number one. My name is Michael Chandler, and if you have heard nothing about me, have no idea who I am. I was just a little guy from a little town who was taught to do little things, who became well-versed in hand-to-hand combat, first in wrestling, and then tried mixed martial arts in 2009. And I've been trying mixed martial arts at a very high level since then, for 16 years. You know, I'm from a small town outside of St. Louis, Missouri. It was a little bit more rural, but wasn't like a farming community. It wasn't in the States, we call it a one-stop sign town or a one traffic light town. It wasn't one of those, but it was small enough that we all stayed within our little bubble. High school was right down the road, 10 minutes. As a kid, you're trying to figure out what life is. And all I knew life was adults work, and that's what they have to do. And they were trying their best. They never complained. That was one thing about my parents. They never complained. They would work two and three jobs all the time. My dad would take side jobs, he would call them, where he'd have his normal job as a carpenter, but then he would also take side jobs on the weekend. It was just constantly scraping and clawing to try to bring more money into the family to put food on the table for three growing boys. And I remember looking at the options and I thought, well, Bellator is more like wrestling because it's a tournament. You know, you win a couple fights, then you get in the tournament. And when you get in the tournament, it's fight after fight after fight to get to the championship fight, and then you can win the belt. Days when I, you know, I lost my first fight. I think I was 12-0, and then lost the next two fights after that. As soon as I lost that first fight, I immediately went into a downward spiral. Completely seems like it's crashing and burning right now. So there was all those fears and doubts and insecurities that I was having to deal with. So I think that was the, because you lose one fight, no big deal, get back on the winning track, you're good. Because that was my first experience. In the sport of wrestling, you could lose a wrestling match on Wednesday, but by Saturday, you get another opportunity to go get back into the win column. And maybe you lose two in a row, no big deal. The following Tuesday, you get another opportunity, boom, you're back on the winning track. Mixed martial arts, you got 4, 5, 6 months in between fights, and that's a lot of days. It's a lot of practices. It's a lot of self-deprecating thoughts. It's a lot of idleness. It's a lot of self-doubt. Like the first biggest mistake I made too was it's like skill amnesia. You know, it's like I completely forgot how good I was. You know, I went from nonstop smashing people 12-0 to immediately lose my first fight. I wake up the next morning and I feel like I've lost all my speed, all my power, all my technique, all my talents. When really I was just as talented after that loss as I was right before the loss. It was just my perception and my mindset of my skill set and how good I was or how good I wasn't, right? That was when that little guy from that little town who was taught to do little things, who had been so prevalent and so loud in high school and so prevalent and so loud in college, but then he was just kind of taking a nap or almost waiting dormant, almost just sitting there behind a corner, just waiting to pounce and waiting to strike for when I had that first setback to finally grab his megaphone and say, I told you the media was right. I told you the naysayers were right. I told you you were a flash in the pan. I told you that you weren't supposed to be here. I told you that you've been a fraud and a fake and a phony and you're not this good. You're not supposed to be out there in the light. You're not supposed to be an example. You're not supposed to be a role model. You're not supposed to be a mentor. You're not supposed to be rich and famous and on a platform and all of these different things. Come back here where it's comfortable. Because this jail cell that we sit in, this jail cell of self-loathing and the jail cell of self-pity and the jail cell of mediocre and knowing you aren't even coming close to scratching the surface of your human potential. Yeah, it's painful and yeah, it's less than you deserve, but it sure is comfortable. Come back here and lay on this dingy little hard cold cot with me in this jail cell. And that's right where I fell.
Luckily, we came out of it. I had the keys in my hand the whole time. That's the beautiful thing.
There's a song by NF called Outcast, and he said, woke up, where am I at? I'm in a jail cell, the door's locked, but the keys are in my hand. And that's how the self-image and the self-deprecating thoughts are, is you have the keys in your hand, you just haven't taken the steps necessary to stick that key in the keyhole and unlock that door to go be free from them. You want to talk about taking chances. I booked a flight to Las Vegas, Nevada with zero meeting scheduled with the UFC. You need to go to Vegas, and I don't care if you go to Vegas and you have to wait there for 3 weeks or stand out in front of the UFC headquarters with a boombox like that one movie, whatever it is. Don't come back unless you get an answer, because you deserve an answer. We end up getting the meeting, and I go sit down with Hunter Campbell, and we have this really great conversation, and sat across the table just like this, and I said, Hunter, I don't want to come into the UFC and beat around the bush. I don't want to take any tune-up fights. I want to get thrown into the lion's den right away. Either I am who I say I am, or I'm not. And I'm okay living with the answer to that question, that I'm not who I thought I was. I'm not as good as I thought I was. I'm okay with at least going to answer that question. But I need that question to be answered. So I want to fight the top guys right away. And Poirier was asked, he turned it down. Ferguson was asked, they turned it down. Dan Hooker was asked and he said yes. And that's when I made my debut against the number 5 guy in the world. He had just spent 25 minutes with Dustin Poirier, who was the number 2 guy in the world. It was fight of the night. He had his moments where people thought he was going to beat Dustin Poirier. And then I made my debut in January of 2021 on the Conor McGregor versus Dustin Poirier 2 fight card in Abu Dhabi during COVID. Knocked out Dan Hooker in 2.5 minutes, did a backflip, ripped off a promo, and all of a sudden, a star was born. I will be your shield in the fiercest battle. I'll defend you from all these arrows and the sword. I'll keep you from danger. Let me be your shield. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's just you, me, and the odds. We stuck together, we two peas in a pod. You dealt a bad hand, I'm there, seizing the cards. We'll never be separated till we seeing the gods. We've been low together, high forever. Long as we go together, we'll die whenever. Be your light, couldn't let the darkness try you ever. Truth in my word, you I lie to never. And when the world gets a little too hard, wipe your eyes, put away your sorrow. When this war, I'll be leading the charge. And I'll be still fighting for you tomorrow. Yeah, even with a blindfold or in different time zones, could find my way to you with my eyes closed. There's nothing between us. Go to Mars or Venus. Stand in front of every one of them rocks they slinging and beat.
Busted up eye and another loss on my record, but hey, I've come back from worse. It was every young man falls, but every young man gets back up, and the sun will rise tomorrow. And when I fly home without the belt, we got some explaining to do, but we're gonna figure it out.
Where can I? in all reality, nobody really knows if they're the hardest worker. Nobody really knows if they're putting in more hours and more time than everyone else. Except for anecdotal evidence of the people that you are around. So when I know, or I say I know, I'm more disciplined and work harder than anybody else in the sport. That's my anecdotal experience of being around guys at the highest level. Guys that are world champions, guys that have won world titles, guys who have fought for world titles, guys who are in the top five, top 10 in the entire world, in the UFC and all other organizations around the world.
If you do the work of a champion, you have the discipline of a champion, and you put the reps in like a champion, and you do all the physical things like a champion, and you make the sacrifices like a champion, but you don't truly believe that you're a champion, you're going to find success every now and then, and you're going to perform at a high level sometimes or maybe even often, but you'll never be able to consistently perform in that manner if you don't truly see yourself as a champion.
And sentimental things. We're in my podcast studio, so where we film a lot of content and try to create value. But we got debut of the year, my first fight in the UFC against Dan Hooker. Fight of the year, 2021 against Justin Gaethje at Madison Square Garden. We got a copy of my favorite book by James Allen, As a Man Thinketh. Shout out to the UK. This is the flag that I've worn around my shoulders when I've walked to the octagon numerous times. So we keep that folded up, keep it in the studio. And this was a gift from, I believe, from MSG. This was from UFC 281. So this was my fight against Dustin Poirier, November 12th of 2022, which as of right now was my last fight. So waiting on the next one.
What I said, I want you at your biggest, baddest, and at your best. Let's do it at 170. Do I think I'd be a great dance partner? Do I think I'd be a formidable one that won't just give him a challenge, but also put butts in seats because people know that I am electrifying when I step inside the octagon now. So, typical Conor fashion, he left his options open.
And I still got one dude on my mind! Conor McGregor, get your candy ass back to the octagon!
My comeback is scheduled for the end of the year, sometime the end of this year, closing out the show.
I think I'm just going to slice through him.
It has to happen.
I think I'm a little too slicey for him than anyone else he's fought.
Conor McGregor's road back to the UFC still goes through Nashville, Tennessee, and Michael Chandler, we must finish tough 31.
I've studied Conor. I've watched his fights. I have watched his areas in which I can exploit and the areas in which I can dominate him. And I think there are many ways that I can finish this fight. And I do believe that immediately from the first bell, I meet him in the center and I immediately start making him second guess himself. Immediately, Conor's going to come out and he's going to try to get in my face. He's going to try to take control of the fight. And very quickly, he will realize that he is in an octagon with a very, very game opponent. I do believe that I knock him out in the second round. when the self-doubt starts coming in, when all of the deficiencies of his actions, the compounding effect of his lack of focus for the sport of mixed martial arts, when all of those things start setting in at a subconscious level and it raises his heart rate, he's gonna go downhill, and he's gonna go downhill quick, and I'm gonna see an opening and I'm gonna get the finish. Extreme patience, a patience that a lot of people question. That's number one. Number two, it's the perfect closing of a chapter to get to the next chapter for the guy who was doubted and the guy who wasn't supposed to be there, the guy who walked on, who started at the bottom of the totem pole and there was only one way to go, which was up, to be standing across the octagon against the biggest name in combat sports. In the history of combat sports, there may never be a guy who becomes bigger than Conor. It just seems so fitting that it's me. Here I am. And all it is the diligent, consistent, persistent pursuit of becoming my best self that I'm still able to be standing here today in this position with a contract signed with Chandler versus McGregor. This is the Super Bowl of a mixed martial arts career. When you get into the sport of mixed martial arts, you want the biggest names, the brightest lights, the biggest platform, the highest stakes. This is all of those things times 100 compared to every single other fight that will happen in the next 5 years. It has been the longest build up to a fight that we have ever seen, right? It's been taking a year and a half, could be end up being 2 years by the time it happens. And then to compound on top of that, it's the biggest fight of the last 5 years. It'll be the biggest fight of the next 5 years. So just stepping into that arena, which is a different arena than any other arena that any other fighter is listening to right now or any other fight that I have had, because the stakes are that high and a fight against him is that big. So starting to visualize and see myself handling that well, handling the pressure of the moment, and then you hone in on the two arms and the two legs and the opponent and his strengths and his weaknesses and how I think I go out there and absolutely dismantle him. Watching two guys start fighting and then watch one man shrink and watch the other man grow and watch one man gain momentum as the other one loses steam, to see the actual human spirit dominate the other man, his opponent's human spirit, to watch him wilt and to get on top of him and beat him with my fists until he gives up his neck and I snatch his soul out of his body. I have no problem saying that I believe I'm the most prepared guy and trained the hardest and trained the most with the most attention to detail of any fighter, let alone Conor, you know, who has shown chinks in his armor of enjoying the spoils of his labors, enjoying the lavish lifestyle that he has, enjoying the money that he has, enjoying the spotlight and the platform that he has. And all of those things take you away from keeping the main thing, and the main thing is just the work.
I think it just keeps you young, it keeps you in shape. The more muscle mass you have, the more your body's optimized.
You know, the accomplishments from 2016 and 2017 and 2018 are not going to carry you into accomplishments into 2024.
It was time for me to make a pivot. Only because of the timeline, and you guys can ask Dana how long the timeline was going to be until Conor actually comes back, but it was too long for me. I'm not waiting around. We had a fight booked January 29th. He pulls out of the fight. Immediately, we start looking at other options. Here we are. Now I'm fighting Charles, number one contender fight, and I've always wanted to chase the title. That's always been my goal. I beat Charles, And then if Conor can get his house in order finally, then he and I can finish that.
You know, as far as Chandler rematching Oliveira, I'm happy with the date. It's November. Maybe we can still do it after. I'm just a bit, you know, out of the loop with it, you know? So.
Oh, I'm still going to be thinking about Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor, as I asserted at the very beginning, Conor McGregor is still not off the hook.
It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at his worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. You know, I think sometimes there's a question of, well, how are you a Christian and a fighter? How do you love people or follow Jesus, but also fight in a cage? And I always pose the question, well, who are you to ever question a man's calling in life and how he spreads his message, right? If I'm able to reach people through what I do and how I do it, isn't that good for the kingdom? You know, and I've spoken to many pastors and I've spoken to many churches, and the common thread always is you are reaching people that I will never be able to reach. A pastor, right? Knows more about the Bible than me, talks to God more than I do, a better quote unquote Christian than I am, right? Yet there are people that he will never, ever, ever be able to reach that I can reach, right? And there's people that you can reach that I'm not able to reach or that he's able to reach, right? We all have our own unique gift. I don't talk about my faith a ton, and I'm not quoting scriptures all the time. And yeah, I say, you know, God created us for this or God created us for that. So you kind of get the Christian undertones, but I don't want to sit here and relate every single thing back to my faith. Sometimes people just want to talk to a human being and not just base everything off of scripture or base everything off of biblical teachings, right? So I think it's being as human and normal as possible while also living your life and rooting your life in biblical principles to then have a message that kind of intersects the two, you know? preaching the gospel at all times, but when necessary, use words, right? If I am able to live a life that people say, well, I don't know what it is about that guy. He's probably a Christian. I've heard people say he's a Christian, or I heard him say the word God, but is he talking about my God? Is he talking about that God? Or what God is he talking about? But all I know is I like the way he lives his life, or I like his vibes. And I don't remember what he said, but I remember how he made me feel. We all use our gifts to use our voice to reach the people that are supposed to hear it. And my message may not resonate with certain people that need to hear the message from you. And it's just different seasons and different timings. And it's, you never know who's going to make a huge impact on your life. It could be a pastor, or it could be the craziest sinner that you ever would have thought, right?
Where's the time and place for sort of the real fight to come out in practice? Or did you save that for fight night?
Pretty much save it for fight night. I mean, our sparring sessions are pretty intense. You know, they're definitely intense. But yeah, those aren't that as intense as a fight though, because that's where you can take a lot of damage. The older I've gotten, the less I spar hard, spar technical, never get over your skis. All right.
I don't need Conor McGregor to cement my legacy in this sport. I'm here to be champion. I'm here to be number one. That's why I'm about to make this title run. Charles Oliveira stole my dream of becoming UFC champion. My number one goal, becoming the number one guy in the entire world back in Houston, Texas, my second fight in the UFC. So now I dispatch of Charles Oliveira November 16th at Madison Square Garden.
You know, if you put 100 people out and you line them up and you say, hey, on a scale of 1 to 10, how hard do you work? And you might have a guy who said, hey, I think I'm a 9 or a 10, but to me, that's a 3, you know? So it's all about perspective. And I have my days, I have my moments of laziness, I have my moments of feeling like I cut a corner here, or I gave myself permission to just chill and relax. And we have to have those moments as human beings, or we become robots, right? But ultimately, if you look at the body of work and the body of work put in and the hours put in and the reps put in, I think I'm just head and shoulders above so many people that I'm around. And I want the younger generation, the people that are looking up to me, I want parents to say, hey, look at that guy as an example for how you should be and how you should continue to grow up. And I want my peers and the younger fighters and the younger athletes or younger entrepreneurs to say, hey, if he can do it and he can work that hard, then I'm going to glean a little bit of inspiration from that. And if I can come even close to that, I'm going to find success in life. You know, it's like the Nelson Mandela quote, our greatest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our greatest fear is that we are powerful beyond belief. Who are you not to be successful and beautiful and accomplish these things? There's nothing enlightened about watering yourself down so that other people don't feel insecure around you. And then you get a little bit older and you realize, man, okay, it's been decades now that I've put this work in. It's been decades now that I've operated with integrity. It's been decades now that I observe who I'm around and how hard I work. And wait a second, I deserve to be successful and I deserve to get to a crazy amount of success.
Why not you? You've got the brains. You can make decisions. You can study the plan.
I know who I am, I know whose I am, and I also know what I was created for. These dreams are something that aren't just attainable, but they are almost a requirement that I need to do, that I need to go tackle in order to reach as many people as I possibly can.
Why not now? There never was a better time.
with being a father, I take it so seriously because I realize that, number one, I had great parents. And number two, it is the most important thing that I will ever do in my entire life. By our actions, by the things we do, by the things that we say, we are showing them what a man is, you know? We are showing them what a parent is. We are showing them what an adult is. And sometimes pursuing your passion is going to take you away from your children. And there's a balance, and I make conscious decisions all the time to be with my family when I could choose to go work and I could choose to go pursue something. But ultimately, you know, and I tell my son Hap now, being 7 years old, and I'll tell the same thing to Ace, that you'll know that daddy wasn't always there, but when I wasn't there, it was because I was pursuing God's best for my life and I was pursuing my passion. So I can be selfish a little bit in order to be selfless to serve you guys and to love you guys, because ultimately you don't need me to be there all the time, but you need me to be the best version of myself when I am there. When I walk across that threshold of the household after going out for 8 weeks and pursuing something, or going out for a weekend to go pursue something and reach people and fulfill my passion, when my heart is full and my cup is full and I'm able to come across that threshold and walk in a fulfilled human being, that's the version of your dad that you deserve. Not the one who makes concessions and skips out on this and skips out on that and dummies down my God's calling for my life to then become a shell of the human being that God created me to be, to then be the father, or to then be a shell of the father that I'm supposed to be. So there's a delicate dance between two, and it's a unique gift to have this experience of this long of a fight career and this successful of a fight career and all of the ups and all of the downs being translated into messages, because fighting is in our DNA, whether we like to admit it or not, whether you're a pacifist or you are a confrontationalist. Fighting is in your DNA. I believe that's the way the human spirit was designed. I want to use those messages to try to help change the world and make the world a better place. And I'm so grateful that my journey went from Jefferson County, Missouri, to Northwest High School, to University of Missouri, to fighting in Bellator, to going to the UFC. It all played out the way it was supposed to. And God had me in the palm of his hand the entire time. And he kept sprinkling in certain people, certain successes and certain failures to get me to that moment. Patience is so important. And yes, you're not where you want to be today, but you have to have the confident expectancy that somewhere down the road, if you keep doing the right things and you keep holding yourself to that standard, you're going to blossom into that man or woman that you need to be. For me, it took, you know, 16, or well, I guess it was 12 years total in the sport of mixed martial arts for me to finally blossom into the man. I was a late bloomer in high school, a late bloomer in college, and now a late bloomer in mixed martial arts. And here I am, right where I'm supposed to be.
If you lead a busy life like me and millions of other people around the world, you might be struggling to get your nutrition in. That's where this stuff comes in, absolutely clutch. If health was easy, everyone would be doing it. But Shure make it that easy. You scoop, you shake, and you go, and you get 40 grams of protein, 26 vitamins and minerals, and every single ingredient inside this and all of Shure's other products has been expertly tested by their team to make sure you're getting exactly what you need. And if I'm really in a pinch for time, I'll grab their ready to drink, which has 35 grams of protein, 26 vitamins and minerals, and tastes delicious. Don't just take my word for it though. People like Idris Elba, driver CEO Stephen Bartlett and hardest geezer who ran the entire length of Africa use this as part of their daily routine. So if you want to find out more, go to the link down below. You can get exclusive offers, like if you sign up to their subscription service, you get 10% off all future orders. And if it's your first time ordering, you get a free shaker and t-shirt. It's also now available in major retailers in the UK and the US. What are you waiting for? Go get it.